I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin. We here to take over the airways. No matter where you're from or where you stay, 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. You could be anywhere but you ain't. You here, so let's proceed with the wave. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up, this is The Breaks. The Breaks.
We're The Breaks. I'm Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
Boy, what a time.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I meant to start that blog site podcast.
Oh, the blog era?
Yeah, I meant to start that because, you know, we always talk about the blog era. And
this week's was a good episode. They finally got to the new music cartel.
Oh.
Talk.
I thought, so when did it, whatever, I don't care about spoilers. I lived it. What is the starting point for it? Because I thought
the starting point is more so 2000. Like they go to everything that predates, but the bigger things that predate the blog era. So they talk about Joe Budden and all of his woes, and Joe Budden finding his tribe, his community on rap forums online. And then they start talking about the rap forums. What is it? SOHH.com and All Hip Hop, when it started out as just like a chat room and a forum.
Yeah,
they talk about that.
Yeah.
And then they gradually lead up to this week, I think is the fourth episode. They finally get to the new music cartel and everybody that was involved in that. And they talk with Low Key, SK, Anai Wright, Mecca of Two Dope Boys, because nobody talks to Shake, because Shake, I don't believe, exists. I've never seen him talk.
You ever met Shake?
I've never met Shake.
So, once again, there was a time, I know when you listen to The Breaks, y'all assume that me and Fresh have always been around each other like this, but no, there was a time when me and Fresh were still friends, but he was in college, so he would pop up sporadically in the city. During South By, it was me, and I want to say Drunk Ray, and we went to a Two Dope Boys like showcase. It was somewhere on Congress, and Shake and Mecca were there.
I wasn't with y'all on that one. I probably was running around doing something else.
Cause that's where Austin Battle Rap used to be.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. It's but like, yeah, upstairs. I probably was running around doing something else.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering if you were there, cause I know South By, you would always come down.
I never met Shake. Never met Shake. But yeah, they talked to all of them. They talked to Splash, who did the jazz one. They talk about Miss Info jumping into blogging this episode and everything, which goes into a hip-hop fact that I have this week about Miss Info.
We're going to thug it out, brother. We're going to thug it out. Yeah, but we have a great show, of course. Unpopular opinion, hip-hop facts, and I will, of course, read the news. Also, yes, I'm going to plug it. Got a comedy show at East Austin Comedy Club, May 17th. Love to see you guys out there. It's going to be a great show. The last time I was there, it was a great show. Follow me on IG.
I'll be at this one. I missed the last one.
Yeah, if you follow me on IG, open. Well, never mind. I can't say that. It's not. Anyway, let's get to the music.
Well, since we're plugging things, New Fresh City.
Ah, the show.
Austin's new music video show on Austin Music Television. This Sunday, 7 p.m.
First
channel 16.
Was dope.
Channel 16. Thank you. Got a great guest coming on this week. It'll be Teddy the Legacy this week.
I was watching an interview with Swiss Beatz on Breakfast Club, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm a fan of Swiss Beatz, but he's not somebody I am drawn to listen to.
As a rapper?
It's just an entity.
Oh,
I just don't. He's not like, you know when you're on YouTube and you're looking at interviews, or just even with, if you have back in the days of magazines, you pick certain people, like, oh, I'll read this article. Mm-hmm. Other people like, eh, I'm cool. And he was one of those people. He's not a bad person.
Gotcha.
I've never really been that interested in a lot of what he has going on. But he is an interesting person because he has been around so long. And he has, you know, he is a part of hip-hop history.
Mm-hmm.
Rough Riders and Jay and all that. But he was talking about his, you know, things he has going on in his life and his legacy. And
about Versus coming back. And he was also alluding to the whole Nicki, Lil' Kim thing, which I think is going to happen. Because when you ask somebody something, they're automatically like, I can't talk about it. Okay, yeah. I said now it's happening, which is disappointing, but whatever.
We'll get into that in unpopular opinion.
Yeah, I know. So he was talking about how he's gotten to a point in his life where time is more important than money. Now, you hear that a lot with people who are rich. They're like, oh, you know,
mainly people who are rich.
Yeah. But his argument was that, and I've heard this before, that people make time for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
He said that his kids had to explain to him that it's good that you're successful, it's good that we're rich, but we want your time. And he was saying that goes against the mentality that we have, especially in entertainment, that we have to always be working. Work, 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 work. Our families have to understand. Work, 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 mm-hmm. work, work, work. And he was saying that people use that excuse to try to justify why they're not around for the things they need to be around for. He said, if you tell me, and this is a great example, if you say to me, hey man, I'm busy all day, I don't have time to, you know, hang out and do something. But if I turned around and told you, well, I have this deal on the table for $50 million, you'd find a way to make time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had me thinking about what, in this thing of entertainment, how valuable is time, and how do you balance it when you're trying to make money?
Good question, man. I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. I don't know. Like, since you and I have both ended up here, I don't want to say ended up because that sounds a way. Since we both have started
up here,
embarked on our careers here on radio, I think we both have kind of struggled to find time to do everything that we want to do. Like you have children, and I can see like branching off into comedy and doing radio and everything else and trying to find time to sit down and be present and be there with your family might be a little tricky.
Yeah.
In my life, trying to find the time to have a personal life and spend time with my significant other, like it's tough, or just find the time to just pick up the phone and call my mother and just see how she's doing. It gets tough at a time, and sometimes I don't think, like, my family doesn't understand. And they're like, well, you don't ever pick up the phone and call. Well, I'm busy. And when I say I'm busy, I'm not saying it because I don't want to talk to y'all. If I don't want to talk to you, I just don't want to talk to you. That's not. Mm-hmm. I don't really need an excuse not to talk to you. But, like, when I say I'm busy, like, I'm busy. I'm at the station. The station keeps us busy. The station keeps us doing things. Then I branch off and I do other things. People ask me to host events. Like, that's finding in a lot of time. And the excuse is, well, I need the money. I need the money. I need the money. Yeah, I get paid from the radio station, but, like, they only pay so much, and I need extra money to do the things that I want to do. So, like, yeah, I'll start this show. Or, yeah, I'll go host this show.
I think, and I've had this conversation with people before, sometimes, and this is not you at all, this is just like in general, we get caught up in the whole, I'm doing this for me or everybody else. But what I've come to learn is that sometimes when you have to be honest with yourself, say, I'm really just doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it doesn't benefit those around you in a positive way, but you're really kind of doing it because you want to do it. Prime example, Breaking Bad. This is a television show. Can't tell you what it's about, but if you know Breaking Bad's about, then
if you don't know by this point.
Just
you don't know at this point.
Yeah, I know. But it involves, you know, the main character is Walt Whitman. He's involved in some illegal activities. The entire show, his excuse for it was, I'm doing this so I can take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last episode when he had come back to, you know, get revenge on some people who had done him wrong. He was talking to his ex-wife, and she was basically trying to make the same argument she'd been making the entire show. Like, you know, everything you've done has affected his family negatively, and I don't want to hear ever again that you're doing it for us. And he was like, you know what, you're right. I did it for me. I was good at it. That's why I did it. I know I've been, it was like 7 seasons. He was like, I'm doing it for my family. He finally admitted, like, you're right, I did it for me.
Because after, like, even with that example, because after a certain point, he did enough for his family. Like, he made enough money. Did enough things. He helped put his family in a certain position. So at what point do you say, all right, I'm good?
What are you talking about, Walt? He destroyed his family. What do you mean?
I'm saying, like, he destroyed his family. He made enough money to where, like, he could have stopped at any point at a certain point and just enjoyed the fruits of the labor. But he, like you said, he came to the realization, like, no, I did it for me. I was good at it. So I wasn't going to stop.
I think that's sometimes with people. So how many times have we tried to collab with people or work with people? And they say, well, you know, it doesn't work out because they claim to be either busy or they got something else going on. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. The only time I feel like it becomes an excuse is when, what I take from that is sometimes your time management skills are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, you can make time for what you want to. I, you know, have in the last couple of days haven't had the most sleep in the world. I've had times where I could have taken a nap, but I had some work to do here at the radio, and instead of going home and taking a nap, I decided to go do a comedy show. So when I complain, like, yeah, I'm tired, yeah, I mean, I chose to be tired. So, and that's my thing sometimes with the time and money aspect of it, too. Also, I don't like when people hone in specifically on the money aspect of it. Because I'm really in the belief of, one, if you don't work super, super hard for money, it'll come your way anyway, if you're doing something you're passionate about. And two, there's so many ways to make money in this world.
It's a million ways to get paid.
Cameron said that. So when people are like, oh man, this is all I can make money. It broke, stop. Unless you come to me and say, hey, look, the money that I was about to make is just crazy amount, I get it. Don't sit here and tell me, hey, I'm making money. You're making like $30 a day. Sit down. I've had people do that to me. They'll be like, hey man, look, I had to go make this money. I'm like, bro, it's one day of work. It's like $50. Calm down. Like you made it seem like you were making like $100,000. Like I said, okay, I get it, bro. You know, that's life changing money. You know, for the moment, but $50. Come on, stop. But yeah, in entertainment is hard, and especially I would honestly say that is the essence of America, capitalism. Mm-hmm. You got to work. You have to work hard to prove that you're worthy to get to that next place.
Yeah, but they really drill it into you.
Yeah, you got to work, man. You know, it's 40-hour work week. You gotta prove that you deserve.
Y'all don't have what y'all want. Y'all not as successful as y'all could be, exactly. Because y'all not working. Y'all are not Jay-Z because y'all not working hard enough.
I understand you got a family, but I need more from you.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I ain't gonna lie to you, it feels kind of weird when you're black and people tell you that. Like, I'm gonna work harder. This sounds mad.
Antebellum. Sounds mad antebellum South. But all right.
Jim Crow's still alive. Well, that's, but yeah, so. I think, like I said, and especially us with like families, like kids, you know, spouses, like married, or whatever. We take a lot of time away from them to do what we love, pursue what we love, our jobs, whatever. But at the end of the day, what they really want is just time.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swiss Beats made a good point too. He said, "I can't tell my kids, hey, I'm working hard, so y'all can, you know, your lives can be better." The kids looking at it like, well, we're already rich, so we just want you here. Also, the same thing goes sometimes with kids. I can tell my kids all day, hey, guys, we're going to work. Sorry, I can't sit here and play PlayStation with you. So I'm doing this so I can, you know, provide for y'all better. They're like, that's fine, but we'd rather you be here playing PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're you working hard, we're already living in it. The house, the PlayStation, the bed sheets. So we just want you here. Because one thing you don't get back is time.
Right.
And I don't have the patience when my time is wasted. If you know, and I would assume you're the same way. If we reach out to somebody to collab on something, to work on something, and they're like, oh, well, I don't have the time for it. Well, I'm not going to have the time for it now either. Because the time I set aside for you, you wasted it. I could have been with my kids. I could have been with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I learned that too. Because when I not first started DJing, but when I was getting really heavy into DJing, I felt like I had to gig all the time. I got to DJ three or four places a day. That is BS. Even with comedy, I know comedians, and shout out to them, they do a crazy amount of shows a month. Probably make $300. I'm not doing that. If I have to do two or three shows a month, I promise you I'm making enough. I'm making way more than $300. Because it's about, you know, just managing your time. Here at KTX, I know y'all think we just come in here and turn on the microphone to play music and go home. So much more to the production.
Yes.
Our producer Elizabeth's always up here producing stuff. We're always ripping and running. But,
producers producing. Computers, you know, computing.
So yeah, stuff takes time for my families. I would love to just sit at home all day, be with my kids, be with my wife.
I know the Lord knows I would love to do it.
But also, I'm trying to get better about making time for them when I have it.
It's a fine balance in finding the time and the time and the work to make the money so you can have the extra time. It's a fine balance. It is something that I'm learning. Like you said, time is something that you can't get back.
Yeah.
Time, I believe, is like one of the few true currencies. Time is something that really has value
to it. I can't say currency because you can't buy it.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's one of those things that you can place a value on. Yeah, like, yeah. My time is valuable. Like you said, if we reach out to collab with somebody and they waste our time, well, that's time that we set aside for you. Now we now cannot get back, and we could have been doing something else productive.
Yeah.
Or you could have been with your children or your wife. I could have been off with doing something else that I much rather be preferred to do instead of waiting on somebody who was sitting there wasting my time. And now that's something that I can't get that hour and a half back.
Yeah.
That I spent waiting or wasting time trying to do something with somebody. So it's like I said, it's a fine balance on trying to find like when you should take the necessary time and when you should do the work to make the money to try to help you have more time. But next year I'm taking a vacation. I'm letting and putting everyone on notice. There will be at least a week or so that I will not be here. So don't call me.
And I you know what? What I've noticed too in life, the people who are the most happy and seem to have all the things that you want, there's more, way more carefree than you are. They're like, yeah, I take vacations. I don't come into work if I have to. My mother told me when I was, before I ever had kids, if a job tells you that you have to come in and something's wrong with your kid, leave that job. She's been telling me that since I was like 12. Because she was right. She's like, if something happened to you at school, I'm leaving work.
Well, I also come from a parent who, well, one, I was born with cancer and there was nobody to watch me or no one to be up there at the hospital with me. So my mother quit her job. So my mother very early on let me know like the standard. Like, yo, if I don't have the time and nobody else will go up there with you, I just won't be at the job.
Yeah.
Like, there is a certain priority here. And I take that, and that is the litmus test. Like, yo, if there's something wrong with a family member, my mother, and KUTX tells me to know that you need to be on air. No, I don't. Something wrong with my mother, and I'm going to go be with my mother. I don't care what you do to me. Write me up, fire me. It is what it is.
For my kids, yeah,
I would say kids, but I don't have children, so.
Yeah, no, but I think it's just about finding that balance.
Yeah.
And also understanding that what you have to be careful about assuming what people want from you and not understanding what they truly want. Like I said, your spouse or your kids, they just want to be around you. You know, it's cool. It's dope that you're doing something that they might admire. Like, I'm pretty sure my kids think it's cool that I'm on the radio, but they just want to see me.
I
tell them, like, hey guys, can't come see them at Rock the Park. And they're like, that's cool and all, but you know,
we're supposed to be
matter
there.
Matter of fact, I the last Rock the Park, I was supposed to get them, but I didn't because, I was at Rock the Park. And I ended up getting the next morning, and my oldest son said it. He was like, oh, one less day with you.
Yee.
So, yeah.
Man, that had to, like, steam.
And so the other day, I was watching something about, it was about Tupac, not the Dear Mama documentary, which is getting good reviews. It's just weird that Alan Hughes is doing it. But
I mean, that's another topic for another day.
I'm telling you right now, you jump on me at a movie. I'm not doing a movie about you ever in life. Okay, okay, if you're dead or alive. Anyway, it was talking about Tupac's relationship with Kidada.
Quincy Jones' daughter.
Quincy Jones' daughter. He was engaged to her before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, was speaking about how much depression she went through after he passed. Obviously, it's your fiance. You know, gets murdered. It was also speaking about how hard it was to date him because how famous he was. And I got to thinking, is it harder to date or be in a healthy or successful relationship when you're in the entertainment industry? Granted, his story is clearly grim, but I'm just talking in general. Now, me and you are both in relationships. You're in a long-term relationship. I'm married. Your experience, is it harder to date being somebody that other people know, a lot of people know, or is it easier to date when nobody knows you?
I know my answer. I think it's harder to date when people know you or when people have a certain perception of you. You and I we're on a small scale celebrity status here in Austin, Texas.
I'm so broke.
Well, money and celebrity aren't mutually exclusive.
Hey, obviously.
Money and fame doesn't come with the other. But I think people, since we are in the position, have the stature and status that we have, people presume a lot of things. Like, my girlfriend presumes or assumes that most of the women that we deal with or encounter want us in a romantic way. Or wow. At some point will want us, or she doesn't trust it, or that like at some point they're going to come on to us to want to get something from us that they need that's going to benefit them. And I'm just like, I don't know what life you think I'm living, but that's not the life, man.
Before you finish that point, in my experience, the people that approach me the most that actually want something, that are the most embrace, are men.
Facts. Facts.
The women usually kind of just say hi and bye, keep it moving.
Yeah, like, it might be a hug here and there.
But we're like, fans of the show, it. But it's the men like, hey man, I heard you on the radio. Can you do this for me? Can you do this? I want to be your friend. Can I be on the radio too? Oh,
like God. Even women artists, like, yeah, I talk to them and I know them. And like, I see them out. I may buy them a drink. They may buy me a drink. But like, that's really as far as it goes. Like, it's nothing.
I don't even get that far.
It's nothing. But it's like, oh, it's fresh. You know, what are you drinking? I'll get you. I get this round is on me. All right, cool.
I'm going to take it. I've said it more than I can be bought. So
like, but that's like is the extent. But I think some people feel like that because of who we are, that there are women that just throw themselves at us. And I'm just like, when did I become DJ Envy?
Why Envy?
Because he had the whole, you know.
Oh, he was messing with Erica Mena behind his wife's back. Oh, yeah.
But like.
Shout out to Erica Mena.
And I presume that Envy goes out in New York and there are still women who find him attractive and throw themselves at Envy because he's just for the fact that he's DJ Envy of the Breakfast Club.
He's one of the biggest DJs in the country. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say it's harder when you are looked at as quote unquote somebody.
To me, it was harder when it was before radio.
Really?
Because people are more emboldened to talk to you, are not hide that they have some type of relationship with you when you're known. Granted, of course, you're gonna have issues with the, like, you know, your significant other's like, hey, what's going on here, whatever. But like I've explained to my wife many times, most of the stuff, the interaction I have with other like the opposite sex, you can see. It's on social media or I'm telling you, like, hey, I'm going over here to go talk to this person. Yeah, but I was before radio, nobody would say anything. So, it was just, you know, you could do something you're not supposed to be doing.
I would think that's easier.
Well, I say it's harder because there's no paper trail. There's more of a paper trail when the people know you. Because, like I said, nobody's going to, when we do side-by-side breaks, when the women artists are coming up to us speaking and, you know, our girlfriends or wives are there, these women are coming up to us in a respectful way. They're not like, you know, pull us to the side or, you know, giving us long hugs. Like, hey, you know, thanks for having us be here, whatever. When I was working in the call centers, yeah, you know, you get the email like, hey, what are we doing after work? Or this, you know, or the text. So it's a different, for me at least.
I mean, I imagine it varies.
We lived together. You know how it was, man. You knew me before I got married. You tell me what was different about then and now.
I can't say on the microphone.
Yeah.
I guess.
Statue of limitations will never end.
I guess it's different depending on who you ask.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I just, from my purview, I just look at it as just like, it was way easier. A lot of this was just way easier when nobody really knew or cared about who I was. And now that they care about who I was, me walking into a certain place, even just like standing next to somebody, like it's viewed a certain way.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's like, well, hey, yo, your girl here? No, she's not here, but I'm also not here with this person either. If that's why you blurted that out or that's what you thought, like they'll just assume that if they see you with somebody else, you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. And I could just be at a show having a drink and talking to someone and it just be a friendly conversation.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's been said before, and I think this is like that with a lot of us up here at KTX, because let me give you a story before I kind of give you context of this. So I watched the interview with Steve Harvey. I work at Overnight at a Hotel.
Is this the interview he did with Shannon Sharp?
Yes, that was actually a good interview. And he was talking about the difference when he was with Denzel. Did you watch the interview?
No, I just only saw the clips that have been released from the interview.
Oh, he was talking about he was hanging out with Denzel on vacation. And Denzel,
that's a flex.
Yeah, I know. And he said that Denzel basically told him, like, I mean, you were different. I'm a movie star. You're a TV star. You know, Steve was kind of like, what are you getting at?
Taking it back a little bit.
Yeah. Denzel said, watch this. And so they went out and, you know, around people. And somebody walked to Denzel. It was a woman. She was like, oh, Mr. Washington Denzel, I love your movies. You're a great actor. Like, you did great in Gloria. Like, it's a pleasure to meet you. Denzel's like, oh, thank you. Denzel said, now, we'll see what happens when they talk to you. What's up, Steve? Oh, man, I love you, man. I'm the funniest person ever. Da-da-da. Give me some dap, bro. Let's take a picture. And Steve's like, why you treat me like that? Treat you like that. Denzel said, because they have to pay to see me. And they don't see me that much either. I only come out every so often. He said, you're on TV all the time.
Man.
And they invite you into their homes. Their granny likes you. Their kids like you. Their dog likes you. He says they feel like you're one of them.
They feel like, yeah, they feel like you are a part of the family. They watch you on a regular basis on Family Feud.
Exactly.
They feel like you are a part of the family.
Yeah, so you're one of, yeah, they think like you, yeah. So radio sometimes, people, we get that kind of same energy.
We definitely get that kind of reception.
So people feel like, hey, like I listen to you all the time in the morning or at night. Like you're a part of my week. I up here do 1As, and sometimes people just stop to go, going inside the 1A to see a band, be like, hey, Confucius. I'm like, you know, I'm just here like,
you know, just working, right?
I'm just here sending off emails and not really doing anything. But they feel like, you know, we're a part of their family. And so that's why when it comes to dating and stuff like that, that's why I say it's more in the open, because nobody's going to, there's not no secret veil that nobody's not seeing. People that, if I'm with my wife, they're still going to walk up to me and say, hey, Confucius, I'm a huge fan of the Breaks. That's not gonna change anything. So I think it's harder. It's I get it, but it is what it is.
I also think it's harder because the perception kind of changes between you and your significant other. Like for example, with me, I think it was the last Love Lockdown we did, which I think was like 2018, 2019.
Oh, you bring that back.
And I don't think, like, my girlfriend, I don't think she ever saw me, like, really hosting or, like, me really at an event.
I wasn't at that one, was I?
No.
That wasn't 2018 then.
What was it?
2019? 19. No? Yeah,
19.
It was
19. I don't remember. But, like, I don't think she, I think at that point, up until that point, she had never really seen me, like, hosting or at an event for KUTX or The Breaks. And so I'm on stage. I'm in this robe. The nice red satin one.
That's when you lost?
No, I lost my custom made robe. The red satin one is at home.
I walk around a fresh robe on. That's wild.
That's crazy. The red one is at home in the closet. But like I'm on stage and getting on stage and introducing the show and introducing myself is fresher than the crowd goes crazy. And I get down. She was like, mm-hmm. You think you special, huh? I see you up there.
Don't project your insecurities onto me, woman.
She say, all right, I see you, all these people in here whooping and hollering for you and all that. I think what the perception.
And you should be happy for me.
And the perception changes of this person who has known you for X amount of years, and now you have become, quote unquote, somebody.
They call
and
you
now,
by your government name, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and people, like, know you and are excited to see you. I think it changes a certain view, or they try to keep you in a certain light when they view you. It's like, I'm not fresh to her. I'm the guy that she met.
Basically, you can say your real name.
No, I was not. The guy she met.
This episode of Batman sucks.
X amount of years ago. So to the world, I'm fresh, but to her, I'm just me. And I think when she sees the hoopla around it, like the perception kind of changes. It's like, oh, he really is as big as he says he is. He really is this person that he has built himself up to be. I guess I have to kind of start acknowledging that fact that he's not just my boyfriend. He's not just this guy I met as a teenager. He's now fresh and he lives.
You met her as a teenager?
Yeah.
Let me find out you grooming. No.
I was also a teenager as well.
I know y'all the same age.
Was also a teenager in
okay, middle. Marcus Houston.
No, you're not finna get me canceled. Not finna get me
grooming
these
young girls, man. What's wrong with you, man?
Quit saying that before somebody just take that and clip it.
No, fresh and his girlfriend are almost the exact same man. I think what she like.
We're 2 years. We are 2 years apart. I'm 2 years older than her.
I don't know why I'm cracking jokes, but
man.
Look, let's get to the music, man.
Well, yeah, I think it's harder, man. I think to sum it up, I think it's harder when you have a certain status versus when you don't.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hip Hop Facts time. It's in facts about the culture of hip hop, sometimes R&B. Fresh year up first.
All right, let's get to this, man. So let's talk about an album that was supposed to come out that never came out. Dr. Dre and Ice Cube, Helter Skelter.
Oh, God.
No,
Dr. Dre, that album exists too. He's just never going
to
put it out.
Yeah, so apparently the album was supposed to come out. Dre had just left Death Row. I was about to say Death Row had just left Dre. Dre had just like newly been like left Death Row, and Cube had, you know, had been on solo for a certain amount of time. And then on MTV, Dre had announced that he and Ice Cube had a joint album coming out called entitled Helter Skelter. In 1994, they released the single Natural Born Killers that was supposed to feature on the album, which, weirdly enough, when you look up the song, it is featured on Death Row Greatest Hits, and it is featured on Murder Was the Case, the soundtrack, and Ice Cube's, like a project featuring Ice Cube. But the album never came out because Ice Cube ended up having to shoot the movie Dangerous Grounds, and Dr. Dre was busy trying to put together and launch his label that eventually became Aftermath. So the album ended up being shelved.
And he's Dr. Dre. He doesn't. What was it? I think 50 Cent said Dr. Dre has whole movies that he produced and made. And
yeah,
never
it's
out.
Never coming out. Like,
can you imagine being that rich?
Mad people have said they have worked in this, been in the studio with Dr. Dre, and those songs have never seen
never
the day of light.
They never come out. So he's always, it was, they, it says even more annoying, he's always working on something. He never puts it out. I mean, the man said that deadlines are the enemy of creativity. So
I think he just do this to keep busy. I think he does that just not to be bored, man.
I said about time and money. See, all that time in the studio, he lost his wife. But to pay all that money. Okay, my next fact. The next fact. It is the 30th anniversary of Enter the 36 Chambers.
Oh.
Wu-Tang.
From the 36 Chambers.
we got to get it. Got to do Wu-Tang fact. Got to do Wu-Tang fact. This is kind of obvious, and I'm sorry, this is surface level. Wu-Tang is known to have 9 members. Into 36 Chambers, it was not 9 members. It was only 8.
Very true. Very true.
Master Killer hadn't joined at that point.
He officially joined at that point.
He's on the album once. Yeah. But
he wasn't like an official member.
He wasn't an official member. He became an official member on the second album. Also, on the cover, it's 7 of them. This is not a fact. I'm assuming. I think it's 7.
Because
You Got wasn't there.
I would have to look at the cover.
Because You Got was locked up. That's my first fact.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's good. I didn't know it was 7 of them on the cover. I think I'd have
it's
to
not
go
all,
back
it's not all 8 of them, though.
All right, so let's take it to movies. Cultural relevant movies. The movie Three Strikes, written and directed by DJ Pooh. The role of Rob that was played by Brian Hooks was originally written for Chris Tucker.
I can see that.
Since Three Strikes was only like 4 or 5 years removed from Friday, which DJ Pooh helped write,
yeah.
He sat down and he wrote this role for Chris Tucker. But by that point, Chris Tucker had taken off.
Rush Hour.
Yeah, he had Rush Hour. Yeah, by that time, Rush Hour, I think he had got the role. The way it was explained was he had got the role for Rush Hour, and like that really took Chris Tucker out of here. DJ Pooh figured like, oh well, Chris is too big and he's too busy to do the role.
I mean, he gave him like $4,000 for Friday. Come back after he just got like $2 million for Rush Hour.
So when he realized he couldn't have Chris Tucker, he had to open up auditions for the movie, and Brian Hooks auditioned and ended up getting the role.
I like Three Strikes.
Three Strikes is my movie, man. It's supposed to be hitting Netflix soon. I think it was supposed to hit like this month sometime.
Yeah, man, Brian Hooks, he killed it, though. That movie's funny. What happened to Brian Hooks?
I was just listening to a podcast with him, and apparently he's still making music. He's making movies and content. He's producing, but I think it's like more on an independent level.
That makes sense. This is more recent fact. Kendrick Lamar's most recent tour is the highest gross hip-hop tour of all time.
Yeah, I saw. Off an album that people said it was his worst album, which I was like, what does that mean?
Because
I kept seeing that being shared. Like, what does that mean?
Kendrick is He's in that place now career-wise where it doesn't matter if he has a bad or good or bad album. People still want to see him.
And I saw somebody make that point, like, yo, we hadn't seen him in 5 years.
Yeah, so.
And it's Kendrick. Like, we know he's a great performer. This, like, the tour was going to sell regardless of what the album was. Nah, y'all said the album was trash. But the tour literally has nothing to do with the album sales.
It doesn't.
We hadn't seen this man perform at all. So, like, yeah, people were itching to see him perform.
I wonder what the record was before. I thought it was maybe the Hard Knock Life tour, but no. I think that was the first like multi-million dollar hip hop tour.
I wonder what was the highest grossing hip hop tour before that?
I don't know. I didn't want to say it and be wrong.
So it's on me. All right. So I said at the beginning of the show I had a fact involving Miss Info. So Nas is Illmatic. Right? You got 5 mics in the source. Now, you know who wrote that review?
Miss Info?
Yes. She wrote it under a pseudonym, Shorty, because she said she didn't want to be ridiculed for one, being a woman, and two, being Asian, and kind of not really, people feeling that she doesn't really understand the hip-hop culture. So she came up with the name Shorty, and she was interning for the source at the time. And they allowed her to write the review for Illmatic, and she ended up giving it 5 mics. And also bonus fact about Miss Info, her website, missinfo.com, broke the story about Tony Yayo smacking up Jimmy Henchman's son.
That didn't work out.
For Yayo.
Jimmy Henchman is under the jail. All right, final fact. Uncasa. You know you like
to do that boy, Un.
Was signed to Black Ground Records,
mm-hmm.
The label run by Aaliyah's devious uncle. apparently, he battled Lupe Fiasco twice.
Uh-huh.
It was in a rap group called Triple R, Rough, Rugged, and Raw in his early teens, and was also roommates with Stack Bundles in Chicago while they were signed to Lupe's First and 15th Entertainment.
He also is an official member of the Diplomats.
Official?
Mm-hmm.
That's because Cam didn't bring him in, did he?
He's on Diplomatic Immunity. He kicks off the album Diplomatic Immunity.
There's about 20 people on Diplomatic Immunity, bro. But is Jaja still a part of Dipset?
Not anymore.
Heck, is J.R. Ryder or Hell Rail still part of it? Because they moved to come out at Madison Square Garden.
Hell Rail, I don't believe so. I don't believe he is anymore. But J.R. definitely is not because he doesn't like Cam. He said Cam stole money from him. So I think, like, let me rephrase. At one point, he was an official member. But yeah. I think the members now are just Cam, Jewels, Zeke and Jim.
I think that's it too.
Everybody that was extra, I think the only one that they have are still cool with is 40 Cal. I believe so. It's the only person that they're still cool.
What about what was the A&R's name?
Duke the God.
What is he still?
Yeah, I mean it's Cameron's cousin too. So
that don't mean nothing.
Facts, especially with New Yorkers.
It really don't mean nothing.
But I believe so. They still cool.
And I'm sorry. You're gonna have this one over me. Diplomatic Immunity won. Diplomatic everyone after that.
You want me to argue against that?
I'm just saying. You talk about it was on Diplomatic Immunity too. That album came and went, bro.
He definitely was on Diplomatic Immunity too. Yeah, no, and he's on one of the more music projects. Yeah,
I remember him in Purple City. That's all I remember.
Also with that, running around with Shice Bubs.
So many offsets. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Unpopular Opinion with Fresh himself.
All right. So, Confucius mentioned the Swiss Beats interview on Breakfast Club and kind of how it was alluded to that the Nicki Minaj, Lil' Kim versus more than likely will happen because Swiss Beats won't really confirm or deny it.
Yeah,
so it kind of means it's coming. So my unpopular opinion, let's get right to it. My unpopular opinion is Lil' Kim doesn't need to do a versus with Nicki Minaj because it is beneath her. It is, yes, and yes, to all you barbs, yes, it is beneath her. And I'm going to roll out why it is beneath her. Because Kim is Kim. And no matter how you feel about Kim, no matter if you are a fan of Cardi, a fan of Foxy Brown, a fan of Eve, a fan of Nicki Minaj, or whatever female rapper, Kim is Kim. And Kim has stood the test of time. And Kim is an icon and should be talked about and treated as such, as we have said quite a few times on this program. And for Nicki Minaj, for Lil' Kim to stand up on a stage in front of Nicki Minaj to do 20 hits, I think is beneath her, because why does she have to prove that, hey, I got 20 hits and I got 20 hits that still ring off and I got 20 hits that are probably better than Nicki Minaj's 20 hits? Lil' Kim is, once again, Lil' Kim is Lil' Kim. You don't get a Nicki Minaj without Lil' Kim. Literally, you don't get her. I know Nicki Minaj likes to throw out Foxy Brown as like her biggest inspiration. Stop it. I'm not saying Foxy Brown wasn't an inspiration for Nicki Minaj coming from New York. But when you look at Nicki Minaj and her entire aesthetic, it is Lil' Kim. It is Kimberly Jones, from the colorful wigs to the way she raps, to the raunchy lyrics, to the way she dresses. That is Kim. A lot of the things she brags about, being at the Met Gala, Lil' Kim was the first female rapper invited to the Met Gala. Yes, you have to be invited to the Met Gala. Like
Anna Wintour.
Yes. So like all of this, all of that fashion talk that Nicki Minaj does, she's hanging out with this fashion icon, she's hanging out with this fashion designer. Kim did it first. Like Kim is like best friends with Donatella Versace. Like they hang out on a regular basis and vacation together. Like Kim is Kim. And like I said, for her to stand on the stage and try to prove to you that like, oh yo, I got big hits, like Google works, as Confucius would say. Like Kim doesn't need to do that. And I just don't think it'll be, her music won't be perceived the way it should be by the younger audience, because they are all Nicki crazy at this point. And they all have made it up in their minds that Nicki is the best, which, as we've said also on this show, when it's all said and done, Nicki Minaj more than likely will go down as probably the best female, the greatest female rapper of all time. But for me, that's still Kim. And when you look at the female rappers now, or even those that came after Kim, Kim's DNA is in all of them. Whether it's Foxy, whether it's Eve, whether it's, ah, man, who else am I forgetting? Jackie O, Trina, like Kim is there. Kim is there, and you kind of don't get them without having Kim step up and do what she did and be the person that she was. And there's my unpopular opinion.
No, I agree.
Also, Kim is battle tested. Like,
yeah,
she went at Foxy. She went at Eve.
She went at Eve.
She went at Nicki.
I think that it's a fixed fight because Nicki has the more recent hits. So if Kim does like a Not Tonight remix, you know, granted it's a hip hop classic record, but Nicki's gonna can do super bass and you know all the bars. Oh my God, what is it? So it's hard, not fair battle. But I agree, because Lil' Kim is the blueprint. And so I don't think it's fair to. I don't think Lil' Kim has to, what I have to prove to you. You're literally walking on the stage because of me. Like, I don't have to come up here and prove. Like,
you are able to stand up and be this sexy, seductive figure because I did it first.
Yeah,
and it was pushed back when I did it. They hated it when I did.
Women rappers before Lil' Kim were all dressing like boys because they felt like they had to fit in. And Lil' Kim, like I said, was, you know, opening the doors for them to deal with, you know, the Donatella Versace's and the Met Galas and all that. So,
because like granted, before Kim, you had like a Salt and Pepper with a Push It and What a Man and a Shoop, and they had songs that were rather sexual, but they weren't doing it in the fashion that Kim did it.
Yeah, like Kim. Yeah, Kim was coming from supermodel angle, but yeah, no, I don't. I think it's just beneath her. That's like almost to say that, I don't know. Jay-Z has to do a versus with Drake. Like, for what? Like, it's beneath Jay-Z, because once again, Jay-Z's like, you know, Drake, a part of the reason why Drake is as huge as he is, because things I've done to help pave the way. So I'm not going to do that with you.
Yeah. And I think Jay would openly say that. Like, I'm like,
if Jay does a versus, the world's going in. There's no way.
That man wouldn't get on Instagram. He ain't doing no versus.
Yeah, I know. Jay don't, yeah, no. But, yeah, no, I agree. Good unpopular opinion.
now, let's get informed. Here is Confucius Reads the News.
Time to read that good old news, huh? You know, because I know y'all don't watch the news, and you allow your parents to watch the news for you, and they probably watch Fox News. So let's get into it. So the war in the Ukraine is still going on, you know, between Ukraine and Russia. On Tuesday, Russian intelligence said that there was an assassination attempt made by the Ukrainians on Vladimir Putin, who currently runs Russia. They provided no proof of that. They just said, hey, somebody tried to take him out, and we're going to try to get rid of him. They said they shot a drone at the Kremlin, which is basically like the capital of Russia, which is interesting because Vladimir Putin doesn't live in the Kremlin. So it seems like it's one of those, like, we just need an excuse to try to go over there and take out the leader of the Ukraine army. But, you know, it's a crazy war. Good old former President Donald Trump, who's been doing interviews with everybody that's not reputable, said that he could end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Of course he could.
Now, once again, going back to the journalist not being reputable, nobody asked him how you do it. They sit there and nod their head. Yes, Mr. President.
You could do it. We definitely could do it. We need you over there. Yeah.
And he did also mention that, you know, Putin never talked about that. Invade Ukraine, we talked. Yeah, because Putin is a criminal mastermind. Boy, Donald Trump, Donald Trump thinks he's Thanos, but the way he moves, it reminds me of a Looney Tunes character. it's just, like, not even the good Looney Tunes character, like the bad ones. It's just sad at this point. Once again, Ron DeSantis is still on his quote-unquote book tour and is failing spectacularly. So, see, in order to be a politician on a worldwide level, a worldwide scale, you have to be able to talk and maneuver in certain situations because every country is different.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know what he's doing over there. Israel is one of America's biggest allies. When you go over there and you can't even get through that... Like, bro, that's an alley-oop. Come on. Like, they're an ally. Like,
they rock with us, bro.
Like, come on. You don't have to really even go over there and do much. Like, he was over there sweating like he was in Iran. Like, bro, come on, man. This is Israel. Yeah, you're good. This is our people's, man. Like, what are you doing over there? So, needless to say, his approval rate next to Trump is abysmal.
Oh, my goodness.
They said, bro, you can't beat Disney. You think you'll be able to beat the Russians or China? Like, you can't. Disney is on his behind.
So, I've seen.
So Disney is also, you know, countersuing him mm-hmm. for basically interfering with their affairs. And because Ron DeSantis isn't there, he's kind of just, you know, taking a back seat and not dealing with the issue head on. What he's going to very quickly learn is that DeSantis, you've only been governor 6 years?
Really?
Yeah, it's the second term. He's in the second term.
Man, you're doing way too much, way too soon, guy.
If you can't get past Disney, Disney's been there for over 50, and they got money. This is like, you just visiting. We live here. So, yeah, no. Yeah, bro. I just, you have to imagine if war does break out between us and China, and DeSantis is president, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. You can't beat an animated mouse.
You can't beat an amusement park, bro.
I know university students sit over there like, man, just leave us out of this. Just leave us. They don't land on too. Just leave us out of this, bro. We've had the same rides for 15 years. We got nothing to do with that. We ain't got nothing to do with no bills, no nothing. So Harris County, one of the biggest, it is the biggest county in Texas,
mm-hmm.
home to the third biggest city in the country, Houston. Harris County recently passed a law that stated that they could elect, they could basically overturn the election. If the position. The person that basically certifies the election, if he finds any type of discrepancies, he can basically say it's no good. Because Republicans have gotten to a place of, since we know they know they can't win, they're just going to just cheat their way to the top. What's interesting is that Harris County, of course, is, you know, has a huge black population and is blue, mostly. When people all start, Texas is going to go purple. Yeah, Harris County, they look at Harris County and somewhat Austin. Austin is way more purple than people want to admit, though.
I mean, yeah, they flip, especially since now, like, Williamson County kind of got flipped, and it's more
purple than it is red, or was red.
I don't care. I don't care. Winston County is red like a lightsaber. I'm not going through there. I don't care if it's red, blue. I don't care if it looks like one of those 4th of July popsicles. I'm not going through it. But, yeah, so they basically, they're trying to figure out a way to overturn elections. It's just, like, for me, I like when Republicans say the quiet part out loud. Like, I saw an interview the other day. One was like, we should raise the voting age to 21 because 18, you'll know what you're doing. Oh, because you know 18-year-olds are voting blue. That's why.
But now, y'all want to change the voting
age. Not going to lie to you, I'd vote blue, too, if I was scared of getting shot up in my school every day.
I mean, if I didn't feel safe.
You know, speaking of, Roy Woods Jr., shout out to him. I first heard about him. He was on Mixtape Messiah 3 with Kamina. Roy Wood Jr. used to record phone pranks, and Kamina put him on there. Now he hosted a White House Correspondents' Dinner this past one.
Look at Roy coming up in the world.
Well, he's on Daily Show. And I'm thinking he might end up taking over the Daily Show because you don't get to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner and not lead to something bigger.
I thought so too. Before that, I thought he would take over.
I just don't know if they want another black guy after another black guy. That's kind of. Like, I'm all wood, but the past host was black. So, I mean, I'm all for it. But anyway, he hosted the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is, this is the third year they've done it, because Trump didn't have it at all when he was president. He couldn't handle the jokes. For the person y'all claim is supposed to be this strong-willed person to defend us, he sure is weak when it comes to jokes. But yeah, Roy Woods Jr. hosted it. I think he did a great job. Of course, President Joe Biden cracked jokes about himself, called himself Dark Brandon at the end and put his shades on. I love Joe Biden, man. I love Joe Biden not so much because I think he's the best president ever. I just like him because the mistakes that he makes remind you that he's human. It's just, not gonna lie to you, man, when he talks, it sounds like he's going through it up there. I said, poor Joe Biden. Get that man a chair. He touching 80. I ain't gonna lie, if I was that old, y'all had me go up there, I'd be mad as hell. I ain't trying to be, man, I don't even know why I'm out here right now. Gio, go up there and speak for me. Roy Wood Jr. made a good point. He said, you know, he feels it's somewhat sexist and also a little bit racist that people ask, what is Kamala doing? Kamala doing? What is Kamala doing? And he said, you never asked no other vice president what they were doing.
Facts. Nobody can tell me what Mike Pence was doing.
Well, Roy Woods Jr. said we could tell you that he's a good hide and go seek because when January 6th went down, that man found all the nooks and crannies in the Capitol. He was good at that. So, but yeah, I mean, he was right. I thought about that too. I said, nobody ever asked what, and the last time we had a vice president who did too much, it was Dick Cheney. And how'd that work out?
Shot somebody.
Exactly. But vice presidents don't do anything. It's mostly a ceremonial position.
None of y'all can tell me what Dan Quayle was doing.
Not spelling things right out of that. But yeah, so maybe one day I'll get to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm going to be.
I look forward to that.
They're not going to bring me back.
I look forward to that day.
My luck, I'd do it and be a Republican president.
I was like, I hope it's a president that you do not agree with.
I let this go, and I hate to repeat Roy Woods Jr. jokes, but it was a good one. He said, you know, billionaires always find new things to pay for and buy. And apparently buying Supreme Court justice is now one of them. And that's Confucius Reads the News. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.